Key, I thought you were going to blow my eardrums out again right there. I was kind of expecting you to go crazy again like you did yesterday.
Wow. Crazy, huh?
Yes.
We're going crazy. Back to that again. Wow. It's like when I had lunch with my friend the other day and he used the word riot instead of protesters, I had to stop him in his tracks. Like, wait a minute.
I didn't call you a rioter. I said you screamed in my ear. You went crazy yesterday.
Yeah, you said crazy.
Right.
I didn't go crazy. I just, you know, talk loud. That's all. That's all.
I wasn't talking loud. Nothing that crazy. Was a full-blown
streak. LZ, when are you coming back this way?
This week, actually.
What
gotta
day?
Get ready. I don't know yet. Okay. You got plans for us? Know.
Well, you need to let us know. I'm trying to do a less than 10 sit down outdoor, you know, meal with us.
Little final, this, the final meal before this day of execution starts.
Yeah, you make it a sound. Yeah, that sounds like the Godfather right there. I don't like the sound of that.
It's just what it's just when we get together and we have a conversation and everyone says their goodbyes and, you know, continue to move forward with their careers in such a manner. That's all.
LZ, come here for a second. Have a seat. Leave your mask on. You're kind of close to me. It's been really good working with you, my friend. You know, we were starting the show together, and you know, I'm gonna miss having you around. But times have changed. It's time for me to move on, and you know, I wish you well. By the way, it's just business. It's nothing personal. But I wouldn't drive my car home. I would take a
Yeah, I get it. You don't want to walk back to Phoenix. That's probably a better idea. Oh, man. All right. So, guys, yesterday we've got two different stories of two different NBA players violating bubble protocol. We have Bruno Caboclo from Houston and Rashard Holmes from Sacramento. Both of them violated NBA bubble protocol. Both of them violated the quarantine. One guy says, well, they both said they did it inadvertently. Rashard Holmes says he was going to pick up some food. Sure. Here's the problem with all of this.
But where was he picking up the food from, though, Travis?
He's meeting his Postmates guy. This is the whole point. This has been less than a week, and we have two guys going with I'm not allowed to leave. Guys are going to be leaving. This bubble will only work if guys stay in the bubble. And I know, Key, that you thought they would follow the rules. But if we can't follow the rules for the first weekend and change, what hope do we have to get through this whole thing?
I don't know. I don't know which – I'm conflicted here with the rules, right? Because is it I can't step out of my room or is it I can't leave the facility and the compound? So I don't really know which one it is. I'm thinking – that they can't leave the hotel site. Like, when you go to the hotels that you've gone to and you've been at, it's the site. You can go to the pool. You can go to the bar downstairs. You can go to the restaurant downstairs because it's within your hotel in your facility where only you and your team and your organization should be. That's what
Rashawn Holmes went to. He crossed what is being called the NBA's campus line at the Walt Disney World Resort, making him subject to an additional 10-day quarantine. Now he has to stay in his hotel room. Quote, I apologize for my actions and look forward to rejoining my teammates for our playoff push. This is the point.
We tried to tell you, Key. You kept saying, I don't believe these guys are going to do that when they know.
But what did he do? He didn't go solicit no girls. He didn't do nothing like that.
We don't know
that he went to get his Postmate food.
That's what he said. And I don't think that the story's way. Where were you going? Oh, I was going to go meet a girl out in the forest. He's not going to go say that. I mean, that's not what it's going to be.
Let's not accuse him of it if that's not what took place.
We've all been to Orlando. We know whatever food he was ordering on Postmates wasn't so nice. He needed to risk it all. It was Long John Silver's. It was Outback. It was something like that. It wasn't something that you need to risk it all for. But this is what we've been trying to tell you,
Long Charles Silvers.
You know what? You've been to Orlando. How many really nice restaurants are there outside of Disneyland?
There's a
few.
In
that immediate area.
But yeah, not in the immediate area. Now you go.
Yeah, come on now.
You got your Denny's and you got your stuff. You know, your family kind of sitting.
I ain't risking it for Denny's.
But at the end of the day, but let's not convict this man of wrongdoing. When that's not, we don't
know. Okay. But Key, that's not what we're doing. That's not what we're doing. We're not convicting him of wrongdoing. What we're convicting both Rashawn Holmes of and Bruno Caboclo of is they broke the quarantine rules.
We don't
need to get into the weeds of why they did it, because I think we can all agree why they did it.
Travis,
is one thing, but the rules were when you get there, you got to stay in the room for 24 hours until we pass the initial quarantine. That's where the Rockets player did not do that. The Sacramento player was, hey, you cannot meet outside food delivery persons beyond this particular line in the quarantine. And he went and did that. This is the first weekend plus that we've seen players inside the bubble, and we had two violations. What's it going to look like a week, a month, 3 months from now?
Where are those lines? No, that's
what difference? I'm sincerely asking, what difference does it make if they say don't go past this point and they go past this point? It doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter. I'm trying to clarify for my own sanity, because I didn't think anybody would do anything to jeopardize a team. So if it's vague and they don't really know, then I wanted to know, like, what are we talking about? Because if you're telling me that they're leaving outside the confines of the hotel, surrounding area, pool site, those sort of things, then they just stupid. If you're telling me that they're telling them they can't leave the room to go downstairs in the lobby, that's something different to me.
That's what Caboclo did. That he stepped outside his room despite the initial quarantine period. When you first enter that bubble, you need to stay quarantined for, I believe, 24 hours in your room before you can come out and then enter the next level of the bubble. He violated that. But the larger point, though, is not the rules themselves, but that they don't understand them / don't give a damn. That's the problem.
Denny's.
Violations right out of the gate is the problem.
For Denny's. He did it for Denny's. For Long John Silver or something like
that. Is that what we're calling it?
Well, listen, I'm not going to assume that he was trying to find ugly Anna, ugly Betty, or ugly whoever. I'm not going to assume that. But if they're saying he did it to get some food from Postmates, that in and of itself just lets you know that these guys are human. I'm not going to sit here and berate them for being human, but I will make fun of you, Key, for not acknowledging they were human and that this was coming. Because we've seen too many examples. We know CEOs of multi-million dollar, if not billion dollar corporations, risk it all for like $20,000 saving on the back end or some craziness like that. You're like, well, why would you do that? Because humans like to push the limits. They like to break the rules. Like to see if the rules apply to them. And that's true at all levels. Every guy is not like that.
And I understand that, LZ. If they was going and meeting women and going outside the building envelope and getting in a car, that's more, to me, what I don't expect them to do. Walking out of their room and into the hallway, a guy can make that mistake. That part a guy can make. I can see a guy making that mistake. Okay, not the mistake of leaving the perimeter, the barricade, and going on the other side of the barricade, but going down and meet a Postmate in the lobby to grab some food. I don't see that as, oh my God, he's trying to get a girl in here by doing that. I don't see that. We were talking about specifically trying to get to Ugly Anna. Annie, whatever her name was.
You know, you had it right.
To her.
You had it right.
Yeah, trying to get to her. I don't see guys doing that. You know, I just don't see guys doing that.
Okay, let me start with this time. If guys are willing to sneak out for a Postmate on day 3, when do you think they're going to be trying to get something else
done
on day 10 or 40?
But Travis, when you say sneak out, are we talking about leaving the hotel and getting in a car or just walking downstairs to the lobby to grab the food?
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Because we're talking about two different things here.
What does it matter,
Keith,
if they're willfully breaking the rules to get whatever they want, how they want it?
Whatever right. the rules the, are, they're willfully are breaking it to get what they the, think they need.
The yes. rule is don't go past this point. It doesn't matter if that point is the threshold of your front door, the end of the hallway, the front door of the hotel, or 2 miles down the road where there's a fence set up. It doesn't matter where the threshold is, that if you break the threshold for a pizza or for something else, and it's happening this quickly, whatever they're saying is fine. Maybe they're telling the truth. Maybe they're not. Who knows? Time will tell, I guess. But the point is that they're violating the bubble right out of the gate, regardless of reason and regardless of where the line is.
Yeah.
For I'm Long still... John Silver, for Denny's.
No, man, because Outback y'all Steakhouse. Keep trying to group it together, and I don't see it the same.
For the Olive Garden salad, which is fire, by the way.
Ooh, the Olive Garden salad, that's the one. With the tomatoes. Fire, by the way. Yeah, yeah. The croutons, I can do that. Yeah. I used to do that all day long in Bristol. Yeah. I didn't have no problem going to the Olive Garden and getting my breadsticks.
Yeah. So that's what he did it for.
Yeah, well, poor guy. See, if you're going to risk it, he should have just risked it, gone and risk it for Annie. Just go on and finish it off. Go on and just, right?
They
I mean, work. Why not?
Maybe not these two guys, but the next guy will.
Hey, Travis.
And the guy after that will. And the guy after that will.
I kind of like Key's method. Like, go ahead and get the Olive Garden salad, the breadsticks, get Annie, get some drinks. Just do it all in one big swoop so you get it
out
of
the
system.
Man, that's just like the dude that went to jail for life for stealing the donut. What you going to do that for? He got three. Remember that dude got three strikes? What was it, a pizza or a donut? One of them.
It was pizza, I think. I think it was a slice of pizza.
Yeah, you go three strikes for – yeah, it was donuts. You three striking for donuts. Like, come on, man. That's the same thing. That's the same – this is. Like, you get ready to shut the whole NBA down for some breadsticks.
Well, guys, come on. Think about this. You don't go for the major crime right out of the gate, right? You test to see where the limits are. You test to see, hey, how hard is it to get a pizza in here?
Yeah,
how hard
like
is it to get my Denny's
guy.
In here? Where are the soft spots in this entire organization? That way, when you go for something other than a pizza or Denny's, you know how the system works. This is probing the system for weaknesses.
Oh, so what you're saying is, first, in order, before you start embezzling large sums of money, let's just start and notice if they notice this dinner real quick.
Oh, exactly. How?
Oh, okay.
Exactly right. How closely are they actually paying attention to this whole thing? Can I get away with something here or not? And we'll see.
Oh.
It is what it is. It is what it is, and I know what it is. And those guys were trying to get out, and those guys got caught, and more guys are going to try it later on. That's just a fact of the matter. Herm Edwards, guys. Key, it's going to be a long list, or at least a list of one guy coming in to say goodbye to you. Herm Edwards is next on The Morning Show at 710 ESPN. All right, as promised, joining us on the Sprint People's Hotline is the head coach of the Arizona State Sun Devils, friend of the show, Herm Edwards, joining us. Herm, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, man. How are you guys doing?
We're hot. We're hot. I'm in Arizona with you, coach. It's hot.
Hey, I mean, 114, hot.
Man, yeah, we on lockdown.
Hot in a lot of situations, right?
Yeah, because of y'all down in Arizona bringing that stuff back
man,
up here.
Hey, Keith, don't you start. Don't you start acting like a receiver. Don't you do that.
Because if we wouldn't allow people from Arizona to travel back to California, we would have been fine. We kept letting LZ come back and forward.
Well, let me ask you this. Half our team's from California, so they come to Arizona, so I don't know what to tell you.
are we going to have Pac-12 college football, Herm, or are we just stringing this thing along till a decision is to be made?
Well, I think there was a decision made yesterday, obviously, to play 10 games. Now, the schedule, we're not quite sure what the schedule is going to look like and when we start. I think the start probably will be in September. I think they're vacillating between the 5th and the 26th. And the schedules, you know, we had two schedules already had made out a month ago. When we talked about maybe going to conference only. It was a 9 and a 10-game schedule. I think right now it is a 10-game schedule. How that unfolds, I think we'll know something today, to be quite honest. So we're going to try. We're doing everything we can. It's fun right now because we're in the bubble.
But if kids aren't on campus going to class, How do the NC2A and the university expect to execute this if the normal students aren't on campus but the athletes are?
Well, I think, Key, as you know, online is big on this at ASU, and it's been a part of this university's culture for, I don't know, 6, 7, 8, 9 years. They're way ahead of everybody else. I do think this, I think the mindset would probably be this: let the freshman class kids come to school, maybe seniors not so much, but I don't make those decisions, but I do know that school will be open, classrooms will be open. The big deal now, Key, and you guys know this, the safety of the teachers.
Yeah.
It's starting to be a concern, right? I mean, and even at the high school level, I mean, all levels of teaching now, the teachers are, you know, they need to be protected as well. And I think that is kind of starting to rear its head when you hear all these teachers speaking.
Yeah, Herm Edwards joining us here on the Sprint People's Hotline. Herm, what's it like? I mean, just it's one thing to know what the schedule is, even if it's different, if you're starting at the end of September or spring or whatever it might be. But how challenging is it just dealing with the uncertainty of it all, not knowing when you're going to have your players on campus, not knowing if your players are coming on campus, just not knowing what the next step is?
Well, I think, you know, for coaches and for players, you know, there's a structure to everything you do. And the structure gets modified at times. And I think you have to be ready and flexible enough to deal with that. Here's the one of the concerns, I think, visiting with the coaches. Let's just say we get into this and we start playing, which would be great. And all of a sudden, let's say left tackle, all right, he has the virus, and he's been meeting – and he's a roommate with the right tackle. You guys are gone for like 2 weeks. They don't get to practice. They don't get to be around football. So that is the concern. All of a sudden, the backup players are very, very important. You know, we always say the backup, you're one injury away. Well, it's even bigger than that now when you think about that. And when you think about the coaches, there's only 10 coaches. So let's say a coach goes out, then who takes his spot? All those things are part of the plan now, I think, when you plan as a coach.
Coach, when you look at the type of conversations that are happening on a conference and administrative level, do you feel, as someone who fits into the high-risk category, that they're properly looking at the other impacts of this virus? You know, and who it can affect. Do you feel heard in this space?
No, I feel like that is a big part of the conversation. But like anything, you know, it's just one of those deals. I mean, you know, I'm 66, but I don't sit here every day, you know, going, oh boy, I just go about my business, you know, wear my mask, do everything I can do to social distance when I have the chance to do that. The concern I have, and I visited with my wife already, if they go online and these kids are not able to go to school, my girls, they'll stay in California. They won't even come here. Because I'm more about protecting them than anything else. That's my main objective, is to protect my family.
Herm Edwards joining us here on the Sprint People's Hotline. Herm, put your NFL hat on for a second. What would happen?
Yep.
If all of a sudden all of college football gets moved to the spring, does the NFL just follow suit and move all of their events back? Do you move the combine, the draft, and everything else? Do you just push it later into the calendar?
That would be a lot of logistics. I don't know. You know, NFL's pretty stubborn. You know, they're on this plan. This is what they do. I mean, that would be interesting. I mean, this whole thing is interesting. Can you move things? You know, just all the things that have to go about. I mean, the television networks, I mean, look, they want to show live sports anyway. They would be able to adjust. But how do you do all that? There's so many moving parts, you know, and you're trying to do something, and rightly so. I mean, whether it's the NFL, college football, we understand how important it is. But it's very difficult to social distance when you play a sport that has no social distancing at all involved in it. You just can't do it. It's a sport you can't. You eventually have to get in the huddle. You eventually have to meet as a team. You eventually have to play the game. And there is going to be – the only person that wants a social distance is the quarterback. He don't want to get hit. Because if he's getting hit, it's not good. But everybody else is not social distancing. They are face-to-face and they're playing football, man.
Herm Edwards, head coach of Arizona State Sun Devils, joining us here on the morning show. Herm, when – I know you're a scheduled guy and you're detailed and everything. When do you make a point to go to some of your redshirt juniors, your redshirt sophomores, your seniors that have an opportunity to go to the NFL next year and say, you know what, man, it's probably time for y'all to get ready to start to look at Sundays, because I don't know that we're getting ready to have a season. When do you do that, if you do it?
Yeah, I would never even suggest that. I would get their minds on just, you know, protecting themselves and getting ready to play a season. Because, Key, you know, most of these guys want to play. Like, they football guys, man. They want to play, you know. But I'm always, and you know this, you know me. If anybody knows me, you know me. I'm always going to protect my players, and I'm always going to tell them the truth. When the time comes and I got to tell them the truth, I'm going to say it. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm going to tell them. And I'm always going to have their best interests in mind. If not, then I'm not going to be the head coach here.
Yeah, because
players,
there's a number
always come first.
There's going to be a number of players, obviously, with the NFL, looking at that down the line, a number of players are going to say to themselves, why across college football? Why am I going to play my senior year if we're not starting until October? Right. Why would I do that and risk
I get
injury?
It, Key. Yeah, and there'll be some guys, and if they want to do that, I'll say I get it. I mean, it's no different, Key, than the last 2 years now, we've been fortunate enough to get in bowl games, and both those times, three of my best players didn't even play in the bowl game because they were getting ready for the draft. And I told them, I'm good. I said, I want you to come to the game. I want you to stand on the sideline with your team. But I get it. If you don't want to play, you don't have to play. I get it. So they know that. They know that, hey, man, at the end, you know, I'm trying to – look, our whole mission here is to allow players and to help players to become the best version of themselves. And they got to make decisions. You know, you're trying to teach them how to be men. You know, male by birth, men by choice. And they got to make some hard decisions sometimes. And you want to be there to give them enough information. And the decision they make, you got to be with them and say, hey, look, okay, I'm with you. I get you. So that's not a problem here.
A coach, you know, you have been and continue to be a fantastic maker of men. So I'm asking you to put on your head coach hat and tell us, what would you do with the players who have been busted in the NBA bubble, bursting the bubble, and you haven't even started playing yet?
Oh, that have made some decisions that can affect the team?
Yes.
Okay. This is hard, man. And I tell them, what I tell them is this. I said, look, this is the true deal of you got to be your brother's keeper right now. And what you do affects everybody now. The decisions you make, the people you surround yourself with. Look, and you know what, guys, let's don't kid ourselves. We were 17, 19 years old before. I understand that. It's hard, man. It is hard because it's one of those deals, man. They just find themselves, and all of a sudden they make a decision, and then it affects more than them. It affects three or four other guys. And that's the problem everywhere, I think, to be quite honest.
So, Herm, before we let you go, very quickly, Key, this is his last week with us in the morning.
That's what I heard.
Yes, yes.
No, I am going to be heard in L.A. in the morning, so it's not my last week in L.A. in the mornings. It's my last week with these guys.
Yeah, but all of a sudden you back in one of them high rises over there in the Big Apple again, huh? All I want to know is when you get settled, I'm gonna make sure that I fly out there. I want to see where you live, and I'm gonna come on your show out there. I want to come on your show live out there.
Oh yeah, no,
that's
I got you. You know, I'm always
for you, Coach.
You're always a go-to guy. I'm gonna make sure that ASU football stay on the map as long as I'm in the media.
Well, hey, you know what? And Key, you know how we roll, man. It's more than just that. It's just
yeah. For sure.
Appreciation of our friendship, man. And it goes way back. People don't realize that, you know, friendships last forever, man.
Yeah, I got to go. I got to go back to New York for a period of time and listen to him scream and holler at me. I got to deal with that.
You can handle it.
I'm the right man for the job.
Anytime you need some help, I'll come on.
Hey, like they, when all this was going down, the guys kept asking me about it, and I did a coach's move. I don't know anything. I'm happy being at 710 ESPN, and when anything happens, I'll let you know. But as of right now, I like the team that I have.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
And as a member of the media, I smelt the BS as it was coming out, and I was like, stop it.
I got you. True. Hey, they're going to miss you. They're going to miss you, man. But you know, your voice, you have a voice of reason, man, and you've got a voice, and all you guys do a great job of really just laying it out and being truthful, man. And that's what people need now. Man, they need to hear voices of truth. Regardless of what side you stand on, just tell the truth, man. You can feel good about what you say.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate that.
Hey, Amen.
Head coach at ASU.
Woo-hoo!
Herm. Oh,
all right, brothers.
All right, Herm.
Y'all.
Okay.
Appreciate you. God bless you guys.
Uh-huh.
You got it. All right. Yeah. Guys are having a hard time following one simple rule when it comes to this quarantine stuff in sports. Tell you what it is next on the morning show on 710 ESPN.
Yee yee.
You're running out of time to figure out what they're saying, Key.
Yeah, because I don't know how much we're going to be playing that.
Yeah, probably not, right?
Nah, we gonna play. Don't worry. I got it handled. A lot of stuff that you think's not going to happen going to wind up happening just because I ain't.
All right, Jorge, you got to take that music down and get my music ready because it is official. Yesterday's snake draft results are a final. And yeah. I don't have a great memory on these numbers, but I don't know if this isn't the largest margin of victory ever. Yeah. I have a 41% advantage over the next closest person.
Travis, I did. We got the research team on it. They're looking at it, going through it vigorously. And I think 62% of the vote is a record. And
it is
congratulations.
Not. It is not. I've won 70% of the votes before.
Yeah, I don't recall that.
Multiple
I don't
recall. Times.
I've no, you're lying now.
Multiple times.
I don't know about
and
that.
They it's
multiple ejections.
So, Travis, what's that, your fifth victory?
Sixth, I believe.
Yeah, Travis is coming on up. I mean, this is his fifth. This is your fifth, Travis. Don't add on that one.
Yeah, you're
gonna carry that.
He already told you his tendency to want to commit white collar crimes. We discussed that in the last segment.
Yeah.
You gotta watch him. So you gotta watch him.
But Travis's old school horror flicks was a winner. And what were your picks again? It was Halloween.
I had Nightmare on Elm Street.
And you even drafted a bus. You even drafted a bus in American Werewolf in London. You got a bus there, but that still wasn't enough to hold you back. I mean, as you win. And Keyshawn, I think, somehow comes in second, but LZ was right.
See, we thought the top three picks. Coming with this come in second somehow. I'm in second because they put me in second when I should be LZ, first.
Key, you got 21% of the vote. I wouldn't say you're that strong. So
everybody that came on to our show that you thought was going to go against me, automatically number one's good. Number one's good.
Well, they didn't vote.
Yeah, the people have spoken.
Two of the 10 that you got.
Yeah, well, congratulations, Travis.
I'm pretty good about it.
Congratulations, Travis. I'm very, very happy for you. And nice going, Keyshawn.
You called that out the gate. He just blew that for a boy.
I was just like, damn, this ain't going to be a contest worth nothing.
Well, that's what you call taking out two birds and one stone.
I had a certain strategy that I thought was going to work.
Yeah, well, let me
take a bad pick, number one?
I got a soundbite for that.
He was like, I'm going to tell you Tim Tebow because they don't see what I see.
Yeah. And then you got a special teams gunner a couple of seasons later in the first round. All right. This is a thing that I think this is exclusive to sports, but you guys can maybe correct me on this, but I think this is sports exclusive, and that's the inability for its players to stop touching each other. Baseball players in particular are having a hard time following the new safety rules, and one of the safety rules is you can't slap the other guys on the butts. You can't high five, you can't butt slap. Kyle Schwarber from the Cubs said, in baseball, you're used to patting someone on the back or butt or whatever it is. Now you're trying to respect everyone's space. I mean, is it really that hard, Key, to ask guys to, hey, you know what? Keep your hands to yourself. Stop spitting and stop slapping guys on the butt.
Why'd you ask Key?
Because he's athlete, LZ.
Yeah, but never mind. I was about to say something. Get me in trouble before my last 2 days, huh? I would say, you know, it's a creature of habit, I guess. I was never really a big, you know, butt-slapping dude on the backside when the play is made. I never really was that type of dude, you know, and I don't think people really even approach me like that just because they just kind of knew that that just wasn't how I would greet anybody.
Don't touch me.
And so, you know, but it is a creature of habit. Like, man, good job, you know. And so you slap on the head, the shoulder pad, but the slapping on the butt, that's more of a coaching and an offensive line type deal. Skill position dudes, we really don't do that in football. It's more of an offensive line and coaches.
You know what it is too, and we're just watching the soccer game this morning. You got Chicago and Seattle playing. I was watching LAFC and Houston last night, and this is a baseball thing. It happens a ton in football, mostly in baseball, but a ton in football. It's the spitting. That these guys are spitting all the time. Like, it's slapping a guy on the rear end after he makes a great catch or whatever. It's fine. I don't feel like that's an infectious disease vector. But with everybody spitting in the dugout all over the place, spitting on the pitch, and just right now, literally as I'm saying it, one of the guys for Seattle just spit something in the middle of the field. That seems to be a much larger problem than some guys high-fiving or slap each other in the back. Let's make the spitting the thing that needs to go more than anything else.
That's a baseball deal. That's not a basketball or a football
not
deal.
Not basketball. Oh, there's a lot of spitting in football, Key.
There's a lot of spitting.
No, not like that. No, baseball. Yeah. Baseball spitting.
Baseball's the worst.
Baseball spitting is different. But football don't sit there and we don't clap our hands. Here we go and spit out. No, we don't. That's baseball.
Yeah.
You know, turn two. Here we go now. What do you say now, Rogers? Here we go. And then spit.
You guys created a method so you could spit even more in baseball, which is crazy to me. We're like, we're going to chew to make sure everybody spits.
And we're going to hold it. And we're going to have about 12 cups in the dugout. We're going to have about 12 cups in the dugout and not know which nasty cup belongs to who.
Look, there's. I don't think a toxic waste dump site is more radioactive than a dugout floor. I agree with you guys on that it's just a vile experience. But you guys are wrong. If baseball is not the only one that is a spitting environment, I've seen a million football players. I'm watching soccer right now.
I'm not
guys
saying
are spitting
I'm not
everywhere.
No, I'm not saying that they don't spit. I'm just saying it's not something that you just could see everybody doing it. Like baseball, you sitting at first base, the guy at the bag and the guy at the runner and the guy at the plate are all spitting at the same time. Right? And then they take their shoe and they take their cleat and they go from left to right as they spit. And they go left to right, left to right.
Don't touch me.
It is weird. I don't know where it started or you know, why it keeps going. But it is weird to see this constant physical touching on a baseball or basketball, you know, environment. But as soon as you walk away, for some reason, now all of a sudden it's inappropriate. like I don't understand, like, why is it appropriate here but not over there?
Well, look, they need to get rid of it, and they need to get rid of guys touching each other. How do you enforce it? Would you penalize guys? For spitting, do you penalize? That's a high five. You guys take a run off the board.
No, they self-police. You got to self-police.
No, but it's hard. It's a creature of habit. You've been doing this since you was in high school, through the minors, up through the major, college, through the majors. I mean, it's just a habit. That's a habit.
You know what else is hard?
Certain people, you got a habit. Like, a habit of mine as a player is I used to chew the edge of my mouthpiece the entire time. Never until I get to the play starts, then I put it in my mouth. Otherwise, it was on the side of my mouth, and I would chew it, or I would have it at the top in the helmet at the top. And that's just a habit. It was just something that was a habit.
Well, it's a habit that's going to have some consequences. And so, Travis, to your point, I think they're going to have to do some self-policing. Like, the players are going to have to take their own safety and their family's safety in their own hands and be like, hey, man, don't do that. Hey, man, don't do that. You can't have the referees monitor it. You can't have the managers or coaches monitor it. It's going to have to be something that's socialized within the players themselves.
Maybe you put some of those new NFL face sheets baseball player, so it can't get anywhere. That'll stop him pretty quickly. If I have a shield over my face, I'm not going to spit my disgusting tobacco and sunflower seeds everywhere. All right, Take It or Shake It is coming up next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN. Let's start with a Major League Baseball topic, Key. Alex Rodriguez and Jennifer Lopez are looping in some more athletes in an attempt to buy the New York Mets. Professional athletes would make better owners than non-athletes. Take it or shake it.
Take it.
Take it.
Go for it. It took you too long.
Well, as long as they.
Yeah, he had to think about it.
Well, because I had. Yeah, I did have to think about it because some owners that are professional athletes, that former professional athletes that are owners now, aren't doing or hadn't done a good job in their respective positions. You know, Michael Jordan, most notably, as well as. Derek Jeter down in Miami. They just, you know, and it's relatively new to them, but at the same time, you got to hire the right people no matter who you are. You could be Daniel Snyder and get in your own way, or you could be Michael Jordan and get in your own way. It's all about hiring the right people to make the decisions, and if you don't know how to make those decisions, you bring in the right people that do know how.
It feels like the most important job for any owner is to know what they don't know and to embrace that. And not try to fake the funk and make things worse.
Yeah, you don't get in. You don't get in your own way. That's all.
Well, you got to delegate. You can't just because, like, Jordan's the perfect example. Just because he's the greatest player of all time doesn't mean he has an eye for talent. Doesn't mean he knows how to build a roster. It's a totally different skill set.
It is. It certainly is. And that's why. And that's why you have to hire the right people to do it. I wouldn't hire Raj. That's for sure.
All right, let's go. Speaking of Raj and his team, the Dallas Cowboys, there are no plans for Dak Prescott's team to talk to the Cowboys prior to tomorrow's deadline. Dak Prescott will play the 2020 season on the franchise tag. Take it or shake it.
Take it.
Take it.
Yeah, he's going to play. I'm down to the last several hours with myself. He's going to wind up playing for that $30 million, $31 million to try to put the Cowboys in a pickle next year. At $39 million, because most likely the salary cap based on the pandemic and everything is going to be flat to a point where it's going to be where it is today. It's not going to increase significantly, and therefore it's going to put them in a position where they're going to be forced to have to do something. And
I think that's why he didn't get done, ready to play. I mean, you've been telling us for over a year, it'll get done, and now it just doesn't look like it's going to get done. Why not?
Because I think that they at the Patrick Mahomes situation completely changed everything for the Cowboys and Dak Prescott. When Patrick Mahomes went out and got whatever it is that he got $50 million a year, whatever the number is, it changed the thought.
They haven't talked since March.
And the thinking. You know, it was one of those deals where all of a sudden it was like, okay, we'll give him 31, we'll give him 30. No, we're not giving him 38. We're not giving him 39. We're not giving him 40. It just changed everything, and I think at this – and they're okay with that. They're okay with it. I think the Cowboys –
the Cowboys?
Yeah, I think the Cowboys are okay with – they got him under the franchise tag now. They're okay with him playing for $31 million, and if he deliver him a Super Bowl, then they'll be okay to give him more money next year. That's what I think it's going to be.
All right, let's stay in the NFL. Let's take a listen to Adam Schefter saying that he thinks that the preseason is unlikely to start on time.
Most teams are expected to report to training camp July 28th. There's an increasingly pessimistic tone that I've heard around the league about whether or not that will actually happen. There are a lot of challenges ahead for the NFL and the NFL Players Association to make that reporting date happen. We all want to see it happen, but again, there's testing to figure out. There's protocols to figure out. And, of course, there are the financial ramifications to figure out. There's a lot of work to be done between now and then to make the start of training camp later this month a reality that right now looks like it's going to be increasingly challenging to get done.
The preseason doesn't start on time. The regular season doesn't start on time. Take it or shake it.
Take it.
Take it.
Oh, no, change.
Don't take it.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to start on time. I think it's going to get pushed back several weeks because there's a lot going on. Obviously, it's a surge. Everything is increasing in every single state. Players that are traveling from California to places like New York or New Jersey, you know, you got to self-quarantine for 14 days. I don't think that there's going to be any major exemptions for those players just because they play professional sports. You got a hotbed going on in Miami right now with everything that's going down. It's the epic center of just everything. So you're looking at that. You're looking at Arizona. They got a professional team in Arizona. We got two professional teams out here, three professional teams out here in California. So it's just like it's a lot. It's a lot to be said, so I think they push it back a couple weeks to try to figure out how to make it work as smoothly as possible.
It's going to be the hardest one to do, right? I mean, we baseball is because they're out in the world. That presents a challenge. Basketball, because the players are in such close proximity to one another, that's a challenge. But the challenges facing football are far greater than those other sports, aren't they?
Can't play football without touching. Absolutely.
Right.
I mean, think about it. When a coach is in the huddle trying to explain something to you at practice, he ain't 6 feet away from you. He breathing down your neck. When players are barking out the play call in the huddle, he's not 6 feet apart. You in a huddle, you all tight, kneel down. He's spitting as he's talking. I mean, all of that. It's just,
and that's just the games. You still got practice. You still got
right, and meetings.
meetings, practice, all of those sort of things.
Training rooms. I mean, it's endless. All right, let's go back.
And you've been around the Travis, and you too, LZ. You know how many guys that are over the 60, age?
Yes. Group. That's why I asked Herm. That's why I asked Coach about it.
That's in the building, though. Not even in the coaches. Just in the building.
Yes.
It's like dozens
of guys.
Dudes walking around there look like they about 85, 90 years old. You like, y'all still work here? Like, no, I'm serious. Like, guys on the scouts that's there just walking around. You be like, I've been doing this for 45 years. You know, it's like, damn. What about this?
All right. Let's try an NBA one here. Let's listen to Brian Windhorst talking about the request that guys socially distance away from the court.
And I understand why they're doing it. I understand there's viral load and certain things they can control, but it is absurd. It's an absurd situation that you can go foul a guy, fall on top of a guy, sweat on a guy, and then when you step off the court, it's like, no, you have a sensor that's going to go off. It's kind of absurd.
It is ridiculous to ask players to socially distance off the court after having been on the court. Take it or shake it.
Take it. Yeah, it
makes no sense.
It's the same thing about not exchanging jerseys at the end of games. Like, it makes no sense. What are you talking about? Like, I just rubbed my elbow against his forearm, and he was sweating like he just got out of a pool. And now you're telling me, don't go play pool in the lounge downstairs? Like, stop. It's like it's just, you know, it's a
I'm
lot.
Gonna assume,
it's a lot.
I'm just going to assume that they would rather err on the side of caution and looking silly than not looking as if they're trying to do all that they can. You know, I envision it like, you know, you have unprotected sex. You may not get a pregnancy the first time, the second time, the third time, the fourth time, the fifth time, but that sixth time might get you. And so when it comes to spreading the coronavirus, it might be the same thing. Where, yeah, you might risk it playing the sport, but why take a further chance by then interacting like you're in a bar immediately after the games? So I get trying to do that, but it looks silly.
One more very quick one here. Dan Snyder deserves zero credit for
zero.
Washington changing its
take
name.
It.
Take it or shake it.
Take it, frame it, build a statue.
Shake it. Zero credit.
Zero.
How about zero. Negative zero?
Oh,
hey!
And he showed up. But the thing is I was reading a story at 3:30 this morning. I believe it was in the Washington Post, if I could remember, or maybe it was NBC. And the writer was simply saying that, like, you don't get credit for this. You was forced into this because it was going to affect your bottom line. You're not sincere, okay? You're not sincere. You just did it because the pressure was mounting to the point of no return. And you had to do it. You was forced to do it, and you haven't been able to sleep in months because of this.
I'm sure that in those private meetings, he was trying to find a way to keep it. You know what I mean? Because if you go out
that's
publicly
sad,
and say,
though,
I will never change it, put it in all caps, and that's a quote from Dan Snyder, I will never change it, put it in all caps, that in those meetings that we've talked about the last week or so, he was trying to find a way to keep it, not try to find a way to change it.
If he was really trying to do that, that's sad though, Travis. I know you're saying you think maybe that was, we don't, you know, but if he was even thinking that, that's really sad.
He was.
Because Bikini, if he cared, if he wanted to change it, he would have changed it a long time ago.
I get the pushback years ago, but I'm talking about since this came up a month ago with him, the fact that he would even come down to the last few days of really sitting there trying to orchestrate of keeping the name, it's just sad.
Think about this, guys. The state of Mississippi has taken down the Confederate flag. NASCAR has taken down the Confederate flag. And Dan Snyder was the last one still holding on.
Holding out hope.
And twist his arm to do it.
Yes. Yeah. Come on, yeah, man. He's a bad dude. I don't give a damn.
Zero.
He's a bad dude.
I like to sit down with him and just have that conversation. Like, why wouldn't you change it, man? Like, what are you – don't give me the why. Just tell me why.
That's what he would give you. He wouldn't tell you the real reason.
Just tell me the real reason.
If there is a real reason, who knows? All right. The Rockets are down their two best players. That's coming up next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.